can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Only was just checking about the where we're all sitting because we had an overhaul of the equipment here yesterday. Rob from Concepts Audio Visual Concepts, Rob, he came in and do you remember I've been on about the cadence bars on the computer here, Don? Do you know why they didn't work, the cadence bars?
Because you're inept.
Because you had the plug out. Over there, that red plug there.
Oh, I see. I did it.
You did do it.
Oh, I see.
That's why
I
it didn't see. Work. Anyhow, so he has fixed it up and he's got all
good.
The microphones.
What else did he say about me?
He said you're a deal. And he's got all. Remember Rob? He's the man that said that you could turn your sprinkler system on down in Mornington from here, this very office.
From a mobile phone?
Yep.
So I better set the sprinklers up.
Anyhow, he's overseen the whole lot. So the Kate sees.
So you're happy, as long as Rob has made you happy.
And he's put the numbered what? All the headphones so that when you say which headphone am I wearing, you match it up. You're on microphone four, and you've.
How much you pay him to put those numbers on?
I put them on.
Oh, anal! Now, you got nothing else to do, have you? What a life! No, do you want to come out and help us work?
Yeah. Now,
do a little bit.
There's a few shout-outs, but I just want to mention this to start with.
What about, hang on, I'd rather know about the boat. What's been happening?
Don, now this, several of the shout-outs have said exactly what you just did then.
Butting in. Well, Mark, did you get the video about from Mark?
Who's Mark?
Well, I'll play you it. Where is it? Where's my phone? Where's the phone?
Right, so I'll just finishing off on the Australian Open tennis, which was a great success.
Yep,
as opposed to last year,
the Pewter Cup,
balls it up, and
in the car, Don.
Did you know this, Don? This is to do with the Australian Open, and in fairness, the doc from Sydney, Dr. Fordham, he was onto this last year, but we overlooked it. Remember. What's her name? The Chang Ping that went missing.
Peng Shui.
Well done, Peng Shui. No,
Peng Shui is the stuff you do to your house, isn't it?
Hmm?
Yin and Yang or something with the house. Peng Shui, isn't it?
Feng Shui or something.
You know, you set your house up.
What the hell are you talking about?
Well, you got yin and yang, and you have your house set up in such a way that you have this feng shui, or I think
the bed, it's got to face north or something.
Bear with us, everyone.
You're not into this type of thing. You just live in your unit. You just live in your unit.
You're not even talking about anything.
That square
you're just
box
making noises that sound like they're Chinese, but you have no idea what you're talking about. What's her name?
Peng Shui.
She went missing last year and there was a couple of protesters had signs on saying, where is Peng who?
Shui.
Peng Shui. And the doc, I wasn't aware of this, the doc got onto this last year and he said, but they were ejected maybe because not they were interested in Peng Shui, they were ejected from the stadium, but because it might interfere with the advertising that a Chinese company had going at the Australian Open last year.
I said that.
So, yeah, he did.
I said it about Taipei when the Taipei...
Now, this is last year.
Yeah, this year.
Yes, okay.
The man from Taipei who was competing in the first round, his flag wasn't registered.
Yep. So, I'm just going to mention this. This is our first topic. Did you realise that the AMA has advised that there be no alcohol advertising on television, and in fact the guidelines from the Federal Trade Commission are that if 28% of the audience are considered to be watching a sporting event and they're under 21, that no alcohol advertising, they've advised no alcohol whole advertising should be on the television. So could you name a sport where at least 28% of them aren't under 21 that watch. Everyone watches football and cricket and basketball and soccer and tennis. And so that would cover advertising alcohol, wouldn't it? Well, if you noticed at the back of the Australian Open Rod Laver Arena behind where they serve, right up there in prominent lettering was a sign that said Guaggio 1573, Guaggio 1573. That is an alcohol drink. It's 52% alcohol and it sells for Dan Murphy at $195 a bottle, and they're advertising alcohol on the world stage at our tennis tournament, the Chinese, and no one takes any notice of it.
I wondered what that ad was
for. That's what it is. And by law, our standard is that you cannot advertise. Foster's couldn't put their sign up. You couldn't put Foster's up behind the baseline. You couldn't put 4X. You couldn't put Grey Goose. Not just say what it is. You just couldn't put the brand name up. So they've been doing it for years, just thumbing our nose at our laws. And it's a Guaggio. 1573 is an alcohol-based drink made in China. And it's 52% alcohol, and no one gives a stuff about it. And if you don't think kids are watching it, Novak Djokovic in his speech said, you know, being patronising and all that, and saying, and it's about Stefano Tsitsipas. He said, it's a great lesson to all the kids watching. So if he doesn't think all the kids are watching, how can the great lesson that Tsitsipas came from at a family that didn't have great wealth behind them? And he said, anyone can do it. All the kids watching, take a lesson from Tsitsipas. So obviously there's plenty of kids watching, but no. And Ben was onto this last year. He said maybe they threw the supporters of Feng Shui out because they didn't want to upset the millions of dollars that the Chinese put into the tennis from advertising illegally.
Of course, didn't it? Oh.
No, I didn't. I didn't know what Guaggio was, but that's what it is. And If you watched the presentation after the men's final, if you could just get over the patronising nonsense again, how cringeworthy that Todd Woodbridge had to say at the start of it that they thanked the elders and for the use of the court. I mean, honestly and truly, where does this end? How many times can we thank people for being in this country? And they mentioned it all, and it was a great success, record crowds, people just thumbing our nose at our laws. You can't advertise alcohol, but the Chinese can. Donald?
Ivan?
And speaking of Australia Day, Sally Capp, I notice she nationalised 200 people at a citizens' induction. 50 nations and nationalities were represented in the 200 people, and she said it was an exciting induction event. So exciting, in fact, that they cancelled the celebrations of being an Australian. I mean, you couldn't make it up, could you?
It's a good look to the 200 people.
That's exactly right. Congratulations, an exciting event, so exciting. We're not allowed to say that you're an Australian anymore because it's an invasion or something. So there we are. So that's the tennis out of the way. And could I also say that there were six great Australian tennis champions honoured at the Don. There were six great Australian tennis champions honoured at Rod Laver Arena over the course of the tournament. And who was conspicuous by her absence?
Well, you just
Margaret
said
Court. Yep.
Well, I would have got that anyway by just saying who was there, who wasn't there, but you didn't have to put the her in. Who wasn't there, you said? You didn't have to do that. I would have known that.
Well, it was a rhetorical thing. It was a throwaway line. The only person who wasn't there was Margaret Court because she's probably not into the trans and bi and gender diversity thing because of her religion. But mind you, she might have been invited and declined the invitation, but I've got a feeling she wasn't invited. But I will stand corrected on that. So that just shows you. And all the push to have a name taken off the stadium, which just shows you, separate politics from sport. We've been saying this for a long time. So that was that. I thought we'd just mention about the doc from Sydney being right on that. And he mentioned it last year, but I didn't realise that that was an alcoholic drink. And, of course, that's the idea of subliminal advertising. Not subliminal, but when you print out a name that no one knows, but apparently people were onto it. People were onto it.
So the doc, is he on this week?
No, the doc's the doc's every other week. He's extremely busy.
Is he on
busy.
The melatonin?
The
gummies?
Now, someone's sending me some melatonin. Someone's bringing some in from the man who got us to speak to that sex whisperer. Remember the sex whisperer we spoke to, Don?
Oh, yes.
Well, he is a friend of hers, and he's over there, and he's bringing back some melatonin or whatever that stuff
what
is.
Yep. What's the melatonin?
It fizzes you up a bit, doesn't it?
For what?
No, it bombs you out a bit.
Why would you like to get bombed out?
Well, you want to go to sleep. It's like the THC, marijuana oil. I think the other doc, Stewart, said that he'd tried it.
What, melatonin?
Didn't he say that?
I thought it coloured your skin. Does it melatonin?
That's different.
That's melanoma.
Yeah. No, that's a melanoma, you dickhead. Yeah. That's a mole or something. I thought there was...
Yeah. So that's that, Don. And speaking of that, then I might as well get on to this because you're an exception to the rule. This is what it says here. Did you realise that the study in the USA has found that the most productive age in human life, this is a study, is between 60 and 70 years of age? Have you found you're more productive now that you got to 60? The second most productive stage of the human being is from, wait for this, 70 to 80 years of age. This is a study. And the third most productive stage is from 50 to 60 years of age. So if you get to 80, you're in your most productive stage.
And you'd be dead.
What?
You'd be dead.
The average age of the presidents of the prominent companies in the world is 63 years of age. The average age of pastors in the 100 largest churches in the USA is 71. The average age of the popes is 78 years. This tells us in a way that it has been determined that the best years of your life are between 60 and 80. So there you are. So you've got a bit to look forward to, Don. Your brain's
going
to kick into gear when you get to 80, thank God. Thank God. It can't come quick enough.
Are they angling to increase the retirement age or something?
I have no idea what they're angling to do, Ivan, but you've got a long way to go before you kick in.
Well, my best years are still ahead of me.
Let's hope. Let's hope. If that's as good as you get now, God help us all.
Yeah.
So I just thought you'd be interested in that. Yeah, I know that's a shout-out from a copper who was at... The Australia Day ceremonies. What, isn't it, Don? Well, you can speak. You can speak.
Good morning, Sam. Morning, Don, as well. But enjoy the podcast. Listen every week. And from my perspective, I do agree. Don, stop butting in, for God's sake. But I love it. Enjoy it every week.
That was sent to us by your girlfriend, Sue Stanley. And she videoed a copper who was on point duty or guard duty in case the incursion or the invasion day got out of hand at the Australia Day celebrations. And he said that about the podcast. And we've got that on video. That's not made up. He's in his full police uniform. We won't mention his name, A, because we don't know it, and B, we wouldn't anyhow, because he might get sacked. Dan might sack him.
Well, Shane mightn't promote him.
Exactly. So,
well, how would an Australia Day get out of control? What, some Australians turn up and start protesting or something?
Oh, no, the people who they say we stole the land off, they'd start jumping up and down.
Right.
Because we don't give thanks enough at every opportunity for the land that we're on, and we don't pay respect. So it's becoming It's actually becoming cringeworthy. It is, and we all respect it, but stuff going on about Todd, poor old Todd Woodbridge, had to read that nonsense out at the start of the presentation at the final of the, when they presented the cup to Novak. And I notice, did you notice this, that there's a scheme, Pay the Rent, it's a scheme by set up by someone called Robbie Thorpe, who's asked non-Indigenous people to give up 1% of their income to pay the rent for Indigenous people. It just goes on and on. It's never-ending.
Don't the Indigenous people, according to Pauline Hanson, receive...
$30 billion.
$33.7 billion?
Mm.
That's more than I think we spend on defence.
Well, we all...
Have you been watching what's been happening in Alice Springs?
Yes.
And it's no different to what I reported when I visited Bourke last year and Walgett and Bawarrina. Those towns have just closed down. I've been watching, especially last night, and the shutters are up on the doors in Alice Springs. It's not a friendly place to be. And there's only one way to do this. And as soon as they open their mouth and look for reasons why, you've got to come down hard with the army and the police force, get some law and order back in the place, and then look for the reasons and try and sort it out from there. But, gee, there's just got to be... And also, the other thing is, the people, social welfare officers up north of New South Wales believe that the only way to give dignity back is by getting rid of the social welfare payments. You happy?
Yeah. You mentioned last week, because someone put you up to it, you said... Oh, it's a bit discriminatory that we don't let the Indigenous people drink up there, that they take their meal cards away and you can only buy food with them. You said, that's discriminatory. And I said, well, that's the problem. That's why they're doing it, Don. So now you're backing your... Now you're arguing against yourself.
You're as thick as a brick. You are really thick. You're thick.
What about... So you think that's discriminatory, not letting them buy grog every day of the week? Because that's the cause root of the root cause of the problem.
No, it's social welfare and taking away the dignity of people.
Take the pens away from him, will you? You've dismantled two pens while I've been watching you. Put them down, man.
We should videotape
every day,
this.
Every time at the end of the podcast, there's seven pens have been dismantled with the springs and the little nibs out of them. Put them down.
Shout-outs.
No, we're not doing shout-outs.
Why not?
All right, we'll do the shout-outs.
No, hang on. You should do it at the end of the program. Ben
doc,
said.
No, the doc's... I spoke to the doc yesterday. I had to speak to him about a matter, and he said... I rang him and he said, look, I'm just sitting down with Jody and they're having a dinner. They must sit down and have a proper dinner. Like,
well, why did you ring at such an inopportune moment?
Well, I
didn't
know,
family. It's a bonding experience.
I didn't know they'd be eating at quarter to five.
Everybody does.
At quarter to five?
Yes.
Well, it's the first day of school, isn't it?
Well, all of that. And you got to catch up with the family and understand.
He was sitting down. I don't know if he'd cooked it or Jody had cooked it.
Just because you haven't got a life, everybody else has.
A life or a wife?
No, life.
Yes. Don, I rang at quarter to five. When do you think it'd be an opportune time? You'd usually ring just before dinner. You wouldn't expect someone...
He's a hard man to time. I'd say about 9:30 of the morning. I think he'd be having a coffee then.
He'd be just coming off his radio show.
That's
he'd
right.
be on his on a high.
Because otherwise he'd be grumpy.
I had to speak to him last night in relation to what I was going to say this morning, and because I wanted to ask him something, and he said, "Look, I'll ring you back in an hour. I'm just having a meal with he said your greatest fan, Jody. I think that was tongue in cheek. I don't think she's warm to us, or me in particular. Anyhow, and he said, I'll ring you back in an hour. And
you're still waiting?
9:00 he rang back, and I said, gee, the dinner must have gone over well.
Well, they were bonding.
Drink a couple of firkinfuls of red wine or a couple of litres of claret, and he might have gotten the mood and just moved into the mounting yard. I don't know what he did, but he'd put the kids to bed. The little nippers were down. And he came on, and I said, "Doc," he said, "Hi." No, he wasn't.
He was pissed.
I made that up.
He's got to get up early.
He doesn't. I'm not sure if he's a rakabite. Is a rakabite somebody who doesn't drink? I think so. I don't know if Jodie's a tippler. She might be a tippler.
A tippler.
Do you know what a tippler is?
No.
One or two?
Tippler is someone who has a drink. A tipple. Tipple is just a tippler. Not a drunk, but who likes a drink. What's wrong with you? It's like when a titter goes around the room, you know. A titter is a snicker. A snigger, you know. You go, you tell a joke and you go, people go, That's a titter. I don't know if she's a titter or not, but she's might be a tippler. Anyhow, it took a while.
I think you're casting.
He's going to get tripped up here.
Yes, I think you're digging a hole.
What about Jody?
No, about the Fordhams.
What, that they're tipplers?
Yeah, they're piss pots.
I didn't say a tippler, Don. You don't even know what a tippler is. A tippler is someone who has one or two drinks, or three or four, one or two drinks over a meal. That's exactly when I don't know that they even had a drink over the meal, but it took a while for him to get back. I did speak to him.
Well, you're going to tell us what you spoke to him about? You've gone right down the path.
I asked him about
you. What?
Hmm?
You asked him.
Asked. What did you say then?
Well, I was interested in what you said.
I asked him.
What?
No, you're right. Yep.
They didn't cover that in phonetics at Geelong.
Asked. What are you saying? I've said asked wrong, incorrectly.
Just like H.
What do you say? Asked.
Asked.
It's got a K in it, Don. Asked. It's like the temperature. Not the temperature, like do you say? Or Kuala Lumpur, it's Kuala Lumpur. So anyhow, I spoke to him about the very fact that the Chinese were advertising liquor at the Australian Open. He said, well, he had mentioned it last year, and I hadn't
picked up on it.
Yes.
But you're a little bit thick.
Well,
A bit slow.
I hadn't remembered it, Don, from a year ago. And he pointed that out, that he had mentioned it, and so that was good, because I thought it. But they are blatantly just thumbing our nose at our laws. While no one else can do it, they can do it because Tennis Australia just copped the money. That's what we say, I say.
It's a political organisation, isn't it?
Now, just quickly, Don, while this city in Melbourne, Australia, what is worrying about getting dog parks for people with dogs and bike lanes for people with bikes. We're on this again. The new sound battening walls on the West Gase Freeway for the new tunnel extension around Grieve Parade have become overrun with graffiti already. If ever this city or the mayor, Sally Capp, or the police, or people who run this city want to nail it on the head, they should set up surveillance cameras and really go to town on the people who are defacing this city while it's built. They hadn't put them up a week and they've defaced and degraded the entrance to Melbourne from Geelong. On the Westgate Freeway, and why they don't take more notice of that and stop it, just cut it off at the knees by having overt or covert cameras overnight, having people ready to go out and apprehend them is beyond me. Beyond me.
What time do you think these people get up and or get onto these wallings? What time of the day or morning?
Well, probably in the middle of the morning,
three or four in the morning. Well, when the traffic is...
Exactly, when there's no one there. I wouldn't think at peak hour you're going to have a bloke daubing.
Do you think lights should be constructed so these people are seen?
Lights?
Lights. You can get portable lights.
I don't know, Don, but movement lights so that they go on when people when they detect movement.
No, be highlighted all the time.
Well, if you highlighted it, that might just give them a nice fresh way to paint the canvas properly because it's all lit up for them.
You see the people; they're obviously acting at night in the dark.
How about some cameras that alert people who are actually watching it overnight? There are a group of people, a group of men employed by them and women, or people employed by the council. And when they see that, they go in the trucks and they get the big hoses and the cosh.
And where is Grief Parade? Is it in Melbourne or Williamstown?
It's on the way out to.
To Geelong.
Yes, but is it in Melbourne? Is it in the
precinct of Melbourne? Probably not. It's Altona on the way out to Grief Parade. On the way out to Williams, it's past Williamstown.
Okay, well, it doesn't come into the Melbourne City Council.
Oh, Melbourne. It is Melbourne. It's called the Melbourne Westgate Freeway, the Melbourne Tunnel Extension.
Road Authority. Get stuck into the Road Authority.
Oh, I'm saying. Don, whether it's the mayor or the police, no, I did say that, or the people authority. who run the city. I did say that. But it is an absolute disgrace. That's what it is. And people don't take now, and our friend from the orthopedic surgeon from can't mention. Well, I can mention where he's from. I can't mention his name. The orthopedic surgeon.
No, because the Mount AMA, Gambier. No, we don't. No, don't. Because.
But he's retired, isn't he?
No, he's not. He's back working.
You said he'd retired.
He had, but they've run out of surgeons down there, and he's come back in.
Well, you said...
No, just...
Well, we can't mention his name.
No.
Well, Barney McCusker says anyhow, he says this. He said, he's quite a contributor to content for this show here. He said about...
He'd be in the prime of his life.
He would be. Good work, Ivan. He'd be up near 80. Is how old would Barney be? Can't mention his name, really.
Be 84, Dr. McCusker. About 85?
Nah, turn it up.
Well, he retired.
I'm looking at his handwriting. It's a bit
shaky.
It's a bit shaky.
How would he be operating on with his shaky hand?
No, don't say that.
Why?
No, he's a very good surgeon. And if he's back working, don't say he's shaky and that he wouldn't be good operating. He's at the top of his field, Don.
You sure?
Don't say he'd be shaky.
Well, the last time I saw him, I thought he had the ducks and drakes.
When you were pinching his hay up on his property when you took your horses up to Mount Gambier for an Estetford, he sprung you stealing hay. Is this true? He sprung you. This is how you met him. You were stealing hay off his property to feed your horses on the way up to an Estetford or a
Estetford's a dance and singing.
It's not. It's
isn't
not.
It?
It's a jamboree. Country jamboree. So. Anyhow, he came down and said to you, excuse me, what you were stealing his property.
What did I say to him?
Get fucked. And he said, red letter following, you said.
Right?
That's what he said. You said. Anyhow, he said.
He said what?
I'm telling you what he said. This is pushing on from.
How's his handwriting? Did you mention his handwriting?
I did. He said, if you want to get serious about, now he's you've been on about this, about the train link. He said the Albanese pledged a very fast train link between Sydney and Newcastle. He said that is a purely, I'm saying this, that's purely a political get-up to patronise the electorate. He said the most obvious place to put a fast rail train line in is between Geelong and Melbourne, because the urban spread of satellite towns and that between Melbourne and Geelong is immense, and it's the second largest provincial city in Australia, isn't it, Geelong? I think. Maybe not.
Anyhow,
it's far more appropriate to have a fast link between Melbourne and Geelong than Sydney and Newcastle. That's what he says. And if we wanted to get some more information on it, he said you could ask Kate Rofe. She's the president of the Melbourne Football Club. Is it Kay Rofe?
Yeah. Well, what would she know about the roller?
Well, I've got a feeling she is the... She is... I've got a feeling she's something to do with the transport industry.
Well, they should be putting a line. They should be putting a line if they were far long-sighted. They should be putting a line straight through from Melbourne to Brisbane, through the centre of New South Wales. Get the trucks off the road.
Oh well, that's going. That's the next.
Oh, next extension. The politicians in Australia. All of them are so short-sighted. There is not one of them with any imagination.
That's a major undertaking, Don. The Indigenous people requiring 1% of your pay to build to give free rent to Indigenous people, they'd have to garnish 5% of your salary throughout Australia to build that. That would cost billions, Don. And speaking of billions, did you know an actuary?
Somebody, financial person.
Numbers.
Correct. Well done, numbers, Ivan.
Do you know one?
What?
Do you know one?
I do. And
there's not many.
And this person who knows a bit about the state government said, you know the freeway extension that Andrews cancelled before the election previous, said it cost $1 billion.
Yeah, to get out. That's right.
He said, bullshit, it did. It's cost $2 billion.
Really?
It's cost $2 billion to rip up that contract.
In all fairness to Andrews over that, I don't know why Naphthine approved that prior to the election. A couple of months out, approved that prior to the election. It was a ridiculous decision.
Well, maybe, Don, but the contracts were signed and the legal ramifications of honouring the contract were in play. To cut your nose off to spite your face and cost you, Don, and you, Ivan, and me, who pay taxes, $2 billion to just rip it up is an absolute criminal disgrace. But the Ian Cook saga goes on. We haven't spoken about Ian Cook and iCook Foods. That saga goes on. That's just as big a fraud and corrupt decision as the $2 billion rip up of the freeway. Ian Cook being pulled out of business. We haven't spoken about Ian Cook. I'm not sure if the action is still going, but as we said 3 years ago, they will try and just stonewall this so that people forget about it.
They're stonewalling a lot of things. I'd like to know what has happened out in the city of Casey. Remember 4 years ago about all that work that was going on, a developer was paying underhandedly to the mayor or a couple of mayors in the city of Casey to get approvals through, land approvals or subdivisions. That seems to have gone very, very quiet. Is that because it would have implicated people high up in the chain?
Possibly, Don. Possibly. I think it would. Corruption, Don, and quid pro quo and snouts in the trough, all that sort of stuff, Don. That's exactly right. I don't know why your levels are... I was just looking at your levels. You seem to be speaking into the microphone, Don, so...
Do you think the Ian Cook saga will rear its head again once this government gets thrown out of office?
Oh, well...
they're in for another three years.
Yeah, I know.
What Ian's... And I've only just realised... You know, and all of these appointments to the judicial system are done politically. So if you're that way inclined, he will get knocked back at the first case here in Victoria. I reckon he'll go to the Supreme Court and that'll get knocked back because they're made up of Labor appointees and because you're criticising the government. He will have to go to the High Court of Australia. I don't know how it's made up, but that's his only way out, I think.
Now, Don,
just so corrupt.
Yes. Now, we could finish...
Shout out. We haven't finished our shout-outs. Sam.
Just going to say, Don, we could finish this segment off by doing the shout-outs and then come back with... Got some interesting questions to ask you about the Hawthorn Football Club, because I know you'll be across that because you're only ever across two things in your life. That's horses that you ride and Hawthorn Football Club that you played for. Other than that, you know absolutely fuck all about anything else going on in the community.
Now, we've given a shout-out to Mark the policeman.
There's Sam.
Oh, you weren't going to mention his
Sam's
name.
Now, Sam's coming.
Hang on a minute. Why, you weren't going to mention his name, what Mark the policeman. I said don't mention his name. And they got you.
Well, I've been
dumb.
Associating with you for too long.
Well,
I've
Mark
picked up all these
Mark
little
the
things
policeman.
Off you. Now, Sam, I can mention this one. Sam from Sydney. Now, he's coming down to the show jumping at Boneo this week, but he's driving down from Sydney. Oh, I think he could be flying. And he would be listening to the podcast. He's an avid listener. So, Sam, I won't mention his surname.
So, Sam's coming
go.
Down.
You'll mention it.
He listens to the podcast.
And we ought to get Sam on the
Why?
Podcast.
To speak about horse
he's
jumping?
Very, no. Oh, he's well. Very much into sailing. And I am fascinated.
Oh, that's Sam Worthington, or what's his name?
I'm fascinated by
yeah,
the Sydney to Hobart.
Is that him, Warrington?
No.
We've spoke
that
to
was
Sam
Grant Warrington.
All right, we spoke to him, Warrington.
Yeah,
when
well,
the,
this is Sam.
Remember
and
when
Sam's
the America's
connected to it.
Remember when the America's got, we asked John Bertram to come on? And John said, yes, I'll come on. And then he got back to us. He said, oh, no, he said, you're a bit. You're
risky.
A bit off, yeah, a bit off the edge.
Did
for
he really?
Us. Yeah, because we said something about
what?
Indigenous people or something, and he jumped into the lifeboat.
Oh, I thought he was an eye. I met him. We had yeah, coffee no, down at Portsea. Oh, Sorrento.
Yeah, no. He
was baked at Sorrento or baked at Portsea. We had a coffee.
Runs with the
John.
Foxes, hunts with the hounds.
Oh, no, hang on.
Yeah, now,
hang on. Well, anyway, Sam is involved
What's
in
his name. Doesn't matter. Going,
no, well, I don't. He mightn't want to. A lot of intelligent people listen to this show. I've got another couple
of shout-outs. Well, Grant Warrington came on.
Anyway, he mightn't like his surname mentioned. But he is involved
you
heavily.
Mark the
Will
policeman.
You shut up? He is heavily involved in the Sydney to Hobart yacht race. And I am fascinated by that race. I watched the start. I think it's great television. Very dramatic. And then I follow it religiously on the computer, watching them sail down the
Tacking.
East Coast. No, they don't tack. They just seem to go for it.
That's of course they tack. You can't sail into a headwind. You've got to tack across it.
I think these boats just go on a straight line, don't
you
they?
You numbskull.
They wouldn't.
Oh, fucking Don.
Now, hang on. You're going to Sydney to Hobart. They'd be... They just straight down the east coast.
So, if Sydney
they
is
they wouldn't be crisscrossing down the east coast
if
to cross
Sydney,
back straight.
They tack. If Sydney,
well, we ought to get him on and ask him.
If Sydney is north of Hobart,
yes,
which it is,
yeah,
and you've got a strong southerly.
No, hang on, it's changed, hasn't it?
And you've got a strong southerly wind blowing from Hobart. Towards
no,
Sydney, you cannot sail a boat into the wind without cutting across at various degrees.
I'd like to ask him that. I'm not qualified.
And do you know what boats do when they go across the water? They're called yachts scud across what? The water. Scud. Have you ever heard of that word?
Yeah.
Scud, have you? Bullshit, you have.
In your underpants.
scud in your underpants. That's skid.
Scud missile.
You've just got one of the vowels out, Don. Scud is K-U-D. Skid is K-I-D. You're a simple man. You're a really... You've got the simplicity of an insect.
Anyway, Sam, I hope you... I wonder if you stay down. I might see him on the weekend.
Well, if he's
we
come,
could get him on next week.
Now, what? To speak about whether boats sail into the wind or
and
not?
And we could ask him... No, I'm fascinated by that thing. I think they're just shells. I wonder where they sleep. They wouldn't have cabins and so forth.
What, in the Sydney to Hobart?
You reckon in those big boats, I reckon they just have a
we've
hammock.
Had this conversation before, Don. You said, I said, would you like to sail in a Sydney to Hobart yacht race? And you said, oh, yeah, but where would I sleep? I said, sleep! You don't sleep in a 1.5-day race, mate. You're up trying to sail the boat into the wind. And you said, oh, no, I'd like to go
how
to
do
bed
they get
and
them
have
ba-
some
the
breakfast
is,
in the morning, bacon and eggs and coffee.
How do they get them back to Sydney or wherever they got to
go? Oh, they put them on a plane.
I thought they put them on a
how do you get them back?
Put them on a boat.
Put them on a...
Geez, that'd be a great
a
anti-climax, wouldn't it?
How do they get
it?
The yachts
wouldn't
back
wouldn't it be an anti-climax sailing back?
Well, it might be leisurely. You might enjoy
what?
It.
Enjoy it?
Yeah.
Well, there's no beds to enjoy. How do you sleep?
Well, that's why they go fast.
Is there a galley to cook?
And where would the help...
sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and all the hookers and all that that they put on to celebrate.
What now, are you Rob, talking now about? Listen, I was having a coffee at Portsea the other day after some work, and Rob came up to me. He's a Mount Mountain. Had,
Rob who?
Oh, I'm not going to mention his name. He said, don't mention my surname. But he said, I listen each week. I haven't missed an episode for 2 years. Where were you before, Rob? We've been going for four.
Well.
He doesn't always agree with us.
Oh, doesn't he?
But he listens religiously and has not missed an episode for 2 years. He had a shirt on. He's a swimmer. The Point Leo Classic.
Oh, yes. So Rob from the Point Leo Classic, you're not mentioning his surname. Well, this is giving it away. Keep going.
Well, he wears his shirt. I swam in the Port Leo
what
like
about,
you.
Why doesn't he get you cannot be
you
serious
You look better
t-shirt.
In his T-shirt than you look in that one. You this, cannot.
Would
you put that on just for the podcast? You can't be serious t-shirt?
No.
Well, you wear that around.
He does.
Bullshit.
He does.
Oh, no.
He wears the hat.
What?
I don't wear the hat.
No, he doesn't
Which
wear the hat.
Which one?
But he wears the
barbecue the giggle
apron.
Hat?
No, I don't wear the hat.
You would.
I did.
You'd wear that on the boat.
I filmed a car episode. Dermot Brereton and Elise Elliot are doing a car show for Channel 7, and they came and because Elise Elliot has a Mustang, the same as mine.
And who is Elise Elliot?
She's Tom Elliot's wife.
Well, thank you very much.
And she fills in on the radio, and she used to work for Nine, and now she works. She's doing a thing for Seven with Dermot Brereton, a car show. And they don't leave those fucking headphones. Put them down, mate. That's why they're breaking. We're not even. You don't even need the headphones. Put them down, Don. No, Ivan.
I'm not touching
Put
him.
Put the headphones down, mate, please.
You've got to.
This is why I've had to get Rob Malandra from.
Tell me about Elise Elliot.
Audio concept, whatever his company's called. His company's called, I'll tell you what his company's called. It's called Concept Audio Visual from Rob.
So he can set up your sprinklers on your mobile phone.
So I wear the T-shirt. I wore it for the when I was being filmed yesterday. We did some filming about the two Mustangs that I have, and that's coming up on Channel 7's show, Seven Maters.
They're struggling for content, aren't they?
Well, I'm in the first episode.
Well, that's what I said. They're struggling for content.
Not at all. Not at all. She thought it was a very good angle. She looked very good driving her convertible Mustang, same as mine, old one. She looked very good in it.
In that one?
In hers, Don, not mine. Hers. She's got.
What's
that's
Dermot
why she
driving?
Did it.
Hmm? What's Dermot driving?
People mad. So
working well.
Now, this is this. You've done the shout out.
So now, hang on. So I've crossed Rob off the list.
Yeah, righto. Yeah.
Oh, Sam from Sydney off the list, and the policeman
Mark.
Yeah, Mark. Okay. Now I've got a shout out. I was speaking to a bloke called Tony, who works with you. And I said, how did that go, the landscaping out at Mick Sheehan's house? And he said, oh, gee whiz. Oh, no, Tony doesn't speak like that. And he said,
no,
oh,
you got your voice. Go on, yeah. Give us a Tony jaw.
Tony said, oh, done. Oh, gee, did you get me in some trouble with Mick Sheehan? He said. Anyhow, Tony said that he had to go and sort it all out because you said he hadn't paid, and he said he has paid. He thinks he's sort of paid. He's tidied it all up. Anyhow, he had to smooth all that over. And he said, you should give me a shout. So I'm giving Tony Jewell a shout out because he listens just to see if you put him in and get him into more trouble by saying things like Mick Sheehan. Not sure if there's unders and overs to be squared, but he said it's all fixed up now. And he said, and if Don hadn't stuck his bib into it, everything would have been hunky-dory. So we're sending a shout-out to Tony, who said that you are coming up with me to a function up at Rich River because there's a flood benefit show up at Rich River and they're playing golf. I said, I won't play golf because I can't because I've got a crook ankle. But I'll come up with Don and we will wax lyrical at the sports night evening. So he said he's now told Gary Buchanara, who's running it, and you said, I won't tell you what you said about Gary. Nothing bad about Gary, but you said, Gary be making a quid out of it. And I said, well, I'm not sure about that, but he's not paying me. He said, oh, well, you shouldn't go. He doesn't pay you. And I said, anyhow, I said, well, I'll get you to come up, Don, and we can have a chat about life. He said, I'm not coming up. Bugger them. He said, I don't care. It floods down at Mornington. If it floods up there, they never come down. Give me a hand. I said, well, don't be so fucking mean, Don. So we might go up and see with Toadie. That's a shout out to Toadie. And a woman called Paula. She listens, and she's married to a bloke called Paul. Paul and Paula.
Paul, well, that was a group, singing group. Paul and Paula.
Yeah, there's a song, Ernie Sigley.
Denise Drysdale covered it.
No, they weren't a singing group.
They were, Paul and Paula.
No, it wasn't.
What was the song?
That Ernie song Sigley? Was Paul and Paula, but it was the group was there's three names.
No, I'm sure it was Paul and Paula, the group.
I think you're right, Don.
Thank you very much. I'll Google it. And what was the song?
No, it wasn't Paul and Paula.
It was.
There's three of
back
them
back in the 50s or early 60s.
Peter, Paul and Mary.
No, yeah. That's a diff. They were folk singers, you idiot.
Well, Paul and Paula, that was the name of a song, wasn't it?
It wasn't. It was the name of a group.
Anyhow, Paul and Paula. Paula listens when she goes
Paula
on.
Does. Where's Paul? Paul, hang on.
Hey, Paula, song by Paul and Paula.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Hey, Paula.
I'll stand corrected, Don.
Oh, shit.
No, well, that's when you make an error or when you're
God,
wrong.
You make a million errors and you never apologise.
No, I don't. I apologise for you quite often. But I didn't think Paul and Paula was a group, but they are. Hey, Paula. Hey, Paul. And so... Paula listens, and this is Mick Christian has sent these in, this is him. I'm reading this out, the text he sent me. A couple of shout-outs, Gerald, no, not Gerald.
Hang on. Why is it, is Mick making himself a big man by getting all these idiots to, he's pulling them off the street.
Don, the people.
He's making it up, he's just. It's
Don,
a figment of his imagination.
These are people who buy merchandise from Mick, like the T-shirts that you say.
How many is he selling of these?
Millions.
Well,
he's not selling millions. He's selling a few. So when the people buy the shirts or the caps, a couple of shout-outs. Jared, I said Gerald. Jared Sully, not Gerald Healy, it's Jared Healy. Jared Sully from Warrnambool and Michael Haley. From Perth. Don't say, is that Bill's brother, please. Michael Haley from Perth. He works at Midland Brick and wears his new cap with pride.
Midland
pride,
Brick,
I presume,
that.
Doesn't mean it's rainbow coloured. I mean, just he's happy to wear it.
He's very happy to wear it.
Yeah,
he's proud of it.
That's right. Also, listen to this. You'll love this. This is Mick. Also, a birthday greeting to Mick from Launceston, who will be 64 tomorrow.
He looks older than that.
That's Mick. Mick sending a birthday greeting
to himself.
Mick sending a birthday greeting to himself.
He can't be 65.
And he says this. Have a listen to this. This is the attempt.
65?
This is an attempt to work a little blue.
Oh, yeah.
He says, the Ayatollah,
that's
his missus.
She makes a nice cake.
The Ayatollah has told me that she has a present for me. But she's not sure how to wrap it.
That's a cake. She's got a cake.
Oh, Don, please. Did you get the double entendre? Did you get the smuttiness in that? She's got a present for him, but she's not sure how to wrap it. She might never have enough
you,
paper.
Listen, I let that go through to the keeper because he's really on the line with his jokes or his comedy.
Well, that was quite humorous. Anyhow, Mick's 64, and so the
64.
Balloons. Yeah, do you reckon? And I'm serious now, Don. Do you reckon? And Ivan, do you reckon?
64.
Mick would. Do you reckon at 60? He's turning 64. Oh, he was. Do you reckon he'd be throwing the leg at 64?
Do you reckon
with the Ayatollah?
Do you reckon he'd get to 70
with the Ayatollah? Do you reckon they'd be having any you know horizontal refreshment? Would you think just in celebrate his birthday? Because if she is an Ayatollah, they have to wear sheets. Don't the women wear... is that Jewish people? The women, when they have sex, don't they put...
A sheet?
Cover their face and you just...
No, they take the veil off when they're at home.
I don't think that's right.
I think they do, Johnny.
Yeah, I think they do.
What
that
they
is
do?
All just to cover when they
not
walk
out. The veil,
out.
I'm talking about their whole body.
No, Johnny.
How would you...
Johnny, Got it. Come on.
Well, I've not seen the Ayatollah.
When they go out in public, they've got to cover themselves.
I've not seen the Ayatollah, but Mick probably...
Do you think she wears a veil?
He might make her wear a veil.
What, around Launceston?
In Tassie.
Just she doesn't want to look at her. Maybe she's... Have you met her, the Ayatollah?
No, she makes a nice fruitcake.
Well, so she's married to a nice... She can't be an She's married to a nice fruitcake. So I'm just saying, happy birthday, Mick, and maybe he'll put a cap on, You Cannot Be Serious, and the T-shirt, and he's got an apron, and he's got a bucket hat.
Yep, barbecue apron.
He might put the apron on her.
Joking. He's got an apron.
It's got good
value, $49.99.
Oh, shit. He's ripping.
He's not ripping people. I tell you who doesn't like you saying that. Doc Fordham.
Why?
He says... Don't knock the price. He said it's...
He got a contra one. He can't talk about the price.
He can talk about the price. So
Everything he gets is contra.
So anyhow, now we're going to wind this up. We're coming back. You're going to tell us to tip a bucket on Hawthorn, or the president, who you wanted me to play golf with. You got me. You told... Oh, we'll get back onto this later. So that's it, everyone. Any other... You get any shout-outs,
Ivan? Hey, Kate Save.
No.
We'll do Kate after this.
Those dim sims are really nice.
They are, but...
She ought to just go and make these.
This will sound like a paid political advertisement, but it's sort of paid because she's giving us food.
Oh, well, I don't mind those dim sims.
Those dim sims were fantastic. I was a bit sceptical about
the dim sims.
The
number of people that are now onto the dim sims. Kate,
I was
sceptical
about the dim sims, and I had one of them the other night.
Only one.
Wait for it, Don. I had one of them and I thought, shit, I ate the lot. There was seven.
What, seven of them?
Seven.
You ate the lot.
I just said that. I hope I speak clearly.
Seven?
They were absolutely magnificent. I was a bit tight in the purse when I'd finished.
I staggered
into the latrines and had to bolt the door shut. But after I...
You're not sharing the unit with anyone,
eh? Evacuated the bowels, Don. I came back out and had one of a tonic drink, so everything was fine. No, so it's going beautifully. So now that's it.